today on Real Radio.
We've broken away from our expository teaching, verse-by-verse teaching, for this discipleship series. Why? To discern the voice of God in the culture in which we live in. We need to know the voice. We need to know the Word of God as it pertains to things that are floating about, answering things that are maybe sometimes common to us, or we might not exactly understand as we ought.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You That God Has a Plan, continues now in his series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences. But how do these beliefs stack up to Scripture? This series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. The Bible tells us over and over again that God has a plan for us as believers. It's a plan that honors God and fulfills our reason for living. A plan, from God's perspective, is an orderly arrangement of thoughts, strategies, concepts, and methods with the intent to create or to achieve. And when we allow God's plan to work in us, we'll discover our purpose in life, and it will be a life full of expectation, hope, and motivation. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that God's plan has a purpose, and all of God's plans are good. God spoke His creation into existence because He had a specific plan for a specific reason. And now, in his lesson called Who Told You That God Has a Plan, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, that You'd unlock to us the truths of Your Word as we go through this discipleship series. We pray that You'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us at a time like this. More than ever, we need to know Your Word, Your will, Your voice, and the plan that You have for our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles and turn to the place that you're going to be turning to that you have before in this series. It's Genesis chapter 3. And from there, I'm going to ask you to write down either the references or as you turn through the Bible, it's wise that you link Scripture together by marking the address. In other words, if we go to Genesis 3, verses 1 through 11, which we are, as we go through the Bible and your note-taking, go ahead and write down the additional Scripture references that will flow from this. And as you do that, you'll be creating your own little personal outline. You'll have your own little Bible study coming together. In this series that we've started most recently, it is entitled, as you can see, Who Told You? And we've broken away from our expository teaching, verse-by-verse teaching, for this discipleship series. Why? To discern the voice of God in the culture in which we live in. We need to know the voice. We need to know the Word of God as it pertains to things that are floating about, answering things that are maybe sometimes common to us, or we might not exactly understand as we ought. And when we say, who told you, it comes from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. I'll paraphrase the front end. We just read it last week. But in Genesis 3, you have Adam and Eve living in absolute bliss. They're living in perfection. They themselves are perfect. They live in perfection. A world that you and I have no idea much at all what it was like. Our minds have been tainted by what the Bible says is the fall. We don't think right anymore. The Bible says we have to have our minds renewed by the Word of God. People have often made fun and said Christians have been brainwashed people. Amen, hallelujah. We need to have our brains washed even more. And that's what the Bible says. We need to have our minds renewed because we don't think right. Thank God the Bible says that He's given us a new heart, but we need to renew our minds. And Adam and Eve lived in perfection. We don't know what that was like, but we know this, that the Bible tells us that Satan came in the garden and he masqueraded himself in the body, in the person of this serpent, this, we say snake, but it wasn't even exactly that. Whatever it was by way of an animal, there's an interesting dynamic there because Eve, who was perfect, when it spoke to her, she didn't think that was weird. I mean, did they talk to all the animals in the Garden of Eden? I don't know. But when, I don't know about you, but if a snake started talking to you, don't you think you'd run? Or shoot the thing or something. I don't like snakes to begin with. But if it starts talking to you, she didn't bat an eye at that. The Bible tells us Satan entered into this serpent and it walked. It didn't crawl in those days. That's freaky weird. Because in the curse, remember, it lost its legs. God removed, from this time on, he said, you're going to slither. So this thing comes walking up and so. And he starts talking to her and she talks back. And the Bible says that he really convinces her that God is holding out on her. Because he says, has God said that you can eat of all the trees of the garden? You know, she goes, oh yeah, all of them but this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he says, oh, don't you know? Don't you know that God's holding out on you? He says that he knows the day that you eat of it, you'll be just like God. He doesn't want you to be like that. And the Bible says when she saw that the fruit of it was appealing to her flesh in every way and to make her wise and to give her pleasure, she took of it and she ate. It wasn't so much the fruit as it was her disobedience, and she sinned. The Bible says she fell in that moment. I told you before that I think the ancient rabbis have it right. They believe that the moment that Eve bit into the forbidden fruit, all of her light went out. She was naked, but she was clothed in light, which made her not naked. But the moment she ate of the fruit, she realized that she was now naked. Somehow illuminated, somehow remarkably weird. She was physically naked, but she wasn't naked. She was clothed in light, and the light went out. And then we don't know, but Adam is somewhere else, and Adam shows up. Bible tells us in Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and says that Eve sinned, but Adam didn't. Did you know that? Adam did something worse. What's worse than sinning? The Bible says Adam transgressed. Do you know what that means? Sin is when you cross the line, and you're sorry for that, and you made a big mistake. You knew it was there, but you got caught up in stuff, or in her case, she got deceived, and she crossed the line. Everybody has kids. You know exactly how that goes. And if you also have kids, you know how this goes. Adam shows up and says, whoa, girl, are you in trouble? What in the world did you do? And Adam looks at her. He's now still in a state of perfection. He chooses, knowing and seeing the consequences and knowing God, he says, God or Eve? God or Eve? And what does the Bible say he did? He chose Eve. He transgressed. And the Bible tells us that they hid themselves. Because they said they were both naked. And verse 11 of chapter 3, Genesis says, as they hid themselves, and that because they were naked, God says, where are you? And Adam confesses, we've hidden ourselves. We're hiding over here because we're naked. And God says, who told you that you were naked? And that's the genesis of this series. Who told you, as we go through these topics, and today we're looking at this, who told you that God has a plan? More specifically, who told you that God has a plan for your life? Now listen carefully to this. I want to be careful how I tread upon this. We've got people who mean well, who when sharing the gospel, they'll say things like this to their friends or to somebody on the street. Hey, you want to go to heaven? Yeah, sure. Oh, well, all you have to do is pray. Oh, okay. And listen, when you pray to accept Jesus, you'll find out that God has a wonderful plan for your life. Oh, cool. Well, who wouldn't accept that message? The only problem is, it's completely wrong. It's not the gospel. It's not in the Bible. You never find it anywhere. In fact, if anything, it's misleading. If you tell a non-believer, a non-Christian, you need to accept Jesus, he has a wonderful plan for your life, you're misleading them. That's not how you get your ticket to heaven in Jesus. You want to be very careful about that. But if you speak to a gathering of believers, you can say to believers, God has a wonderful plan for your life as a Christian. Now that you're a Christian, God's got a great plan for your life. What you don't want to do is say that as a, perhaps if I were to say to you as a pastor, this would be wrong to say to you that, you know, it's terrible to think that God has a wonderful plan for your life if you tell people that's how they should accept the Lord. You should never mix the two together. Do you guys understand that? Evangelism is Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins because we're lost, like Adam and Eve. He died in our place because we deserve punishment. We've broken the Ten Commandments. We're all in trouble. We have guilt and shame. Jesus died on the cross to free us from that burden, and he creates within us, not religion, but a new life. And that new life, he does it. We don't do it. He does it. And that's what he does. He recreates us, and he makes us different, new people. And we're saved. The Bible says we're saved. We don't save ourselves. He saves us. And then we become blubbering idiots to our relatives and friends because all we can do is talk about Jesus because we're so excited because we've had this amazing encounter with God. Okay, that's great. And then I could turn to you and say, and God's got a wonderful plan for your life. But you can't say that to a non-believer because they're lost. Now, does God want them saved? Yes, that's why we should, as Pastor Steve said a moment ago regarding the class, the call. You need to learn how to do that and give the gospel rightly. But listen, we cannot say today that God does not have a wonderful plan for your life when in fact he does. Are you listening, church? Yeah. Here's the issue. We need to define two words, wonderful and plan. Because listen, friends, I wanna let the cat out of the bag. I didn't do it at first service, I didn't do it at second, but third service, I wanna say it up front. When we come to the end of this message, I hope to hit you with the punch. And I'm gonna tell you up front. You are obviously a Christian in the United States. And a lot of our Western influences taint the way that we view Scripture. For example, there's scriptures that you and I have as promises that we love them. Great verses. God will deliver you from all your distresses. That God will preserve you. That, as we'll see in a moment, that the great work that God has started in your life, he's going to complete it. We're going to read soon Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I have a plan for your life, and it's for a future and for a hope. We all love that, don't we? Those are God's promises in his Bible. But can you understand that regarding God's great plan for your life, because God has a plan, that there are Christians in Damascus, in Raqqa, in areas of northern Iraq? Their hands are being cut off, their heads are being cut off from their shoulders, they're being skinned alive by ISIS, and they're Christians. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible that you have on your lap is the same Bible they have? The question to you today is regarding God's plan for your life. Is he failing those right now in Syria? Is he failing them in Iraq? Is he failing those that are in prison right now for being Christians in Vietnam? What about those? The most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian is in North Korea. Has God abandoned them? Absolutely not. Why is that true? How can we say that? When we have it so nice and they have it so rough. Is there a contradiction in the Bible? Not at all. Who told you that God has a plan? As we jump into it, consider this. Number one, we look at the fact that the plan that God has for us is right in line with how he deals with us. Number one, it's this, that we all appreciate a plan. And when we talk about a plan, we need to define the word from the ancient Hebrew language about a plan when we talk about the plan of God. See, the truth is, you're not interested in my plan, and I'm not interested in your plan. Because as Christians, we should be interested in God's plan. And God's plan means this, an orderly arrangement of thoughts, strategies, concepts, or methods with the intent to create or to achieve. In other words, God has a purpose. Will you jot that down? It's the consideration under this first point. We all appreciate a plan. Why? Because plans have a purpose. Plans have a purpose. Number one, this way. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. Interesting. Light was manifested. Watch. God spoke it into existence. Think now. And he did it by saying the word. God said it. It transformed, that is his word, into a physical manifestation, in this case, light. That shouldn't be strange to you, even if you're an atheist today. You can be a brilliant atheist. You can be working at the greatest research firm in the world, and you should agree with me that only human beings can orchestrate, create, imagine, write, produce something from nothing that's in the head down on paper or by song or by orchestra. It's done. We get that. And God says, I do the same thing. God says, I have a plan. And all of my plans, God says, are purposeful. He has a purpose to his plan. Genesis, in fact, listen to this. In Genesis chapter 1, it's verse 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, verse 26. All of them say, then God said. Telios, the movement of thought and concept that is invisible into the physical realm. The communication of information. Telios, ancient Greek word, we get the word telemetry. We're going to send a rocket out into the Pacific. How does that go? That physical rocket follows an invisible path that is determined on its telemetry, the path that it follows. God speaks, something happens. We get a thought in our minds and we write a poem or we write a book. Only God has put that in the human mind and in the human soul to be able to do. God has a plan and we appreciate his plans. Why? Because they have purpose. They speak of intellect. And the Bible tells us finally in Genesis 1 verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made. Imagine, he spoke all these things into existence. And indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. That very good demands that it came out of a very good plan. God had a plan. And I want to ask you this morning, do you view life in a certain light of hopefulness? Now listen, of hopefulness and of purpose and of meaning, I hope you do. My heart is heavy with America right now. There's an epidemic. By the way, it's a self-inflicted wound. No pun intended. I'm not trying to be funny. But our culture has a self-inflicted wound upon itself whereby we are seeing right now the highest rate of teen suicide in our nation's history. And without being funny, it's a self-inflicted wound. We have robbed our kids of hope in our culture today. They sense themselves meaningless. This last week, I walked out of a grocery store here in town and I saw something that's unusual. We live in an affluent area here in this part of the world. And I saw a young man outside of the market sitting down, and he said, sir, would you spare any money? Now, I'll be honest with you. I saw him going into the store. I never carry cash. And so I made sure that when I was coming out, I had $5 cash. Follow with me. I knew what I was going to do. What were you going to do, Pastor? I was going to pay this guy $5 to hear the gospel. Did you hear me? He was obviously in need. He looked horrible. So I took out an extra $5 out of the debit card. I'm going to pay him $5 to tell him the gospel. I think that's money well spent, personally. And I said, he asked me that question. I said, hey, dude, what's up with you? I'm hungry. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you some money, but how old are you? I was shocked. He looked younger. He said, I'm 27. I said, why are you begging at 27 years of age in America? And he said, because my dad abandoned us, left us homeless, and I have nowhere to go. And I said, well, I'll tell you what right now. Listen, you're 27. Are you going to live the rest of your life like this? Do you want to? No, sir. And I said, so what are you going to do about it? I don't know. I said, well, I'll tell you what. And I gave him, you know, I told him, I said, you don't need to hear what I said, but I said something to the, along the lines of, if I were your dad, I'd say this. And I told him, bottom line was this, do you want to be here when you're 57? Oh, no, sir, I don't. So he went and got himself something to eat. A young man with no purpose. That kind of stuff leads to a life that is empty. And I told him, you've been, because I knew the message on Sunday. I said, God has created for a purpose, and you're not living it. God has a plan for your life, and at its worst, it's better than what you're doing. That young man listened. Derek is his name. I'd appreciate you praying for him. God created Derek with a purpose. God created you with a purpose. There's a great purpose for your life. It's not something I'm supposed to say as a pastor. It's not something that is just a colloquial statement. It's real. It's a fact. God wastes nothing in his purposeful designs. He created you for a purpose. God would be saying to you today, I would ask you today, are you living the purpose that God has created for you? Do you know what that purpose is? To live it. Which leads us to the second consideration is design. A plan. God has a plan for your life. And you can say this, that God, because he has a plan for your life, he's got a purpose for your life, he's got a design. God's got a design for your life. And I got to tell you, we don't have much time. The plethora and multitude of verses that speak to you and me about God's design for our lives would take this entire remainder of the day to go through all the verses. He's got so much to tell you about the purposeful design that he has for your life. None of us should be walking around saying, well, I don't know what to do. God has, he is your creator. Watch this, a design. The word design means that God deliberately designed with the intent for a specific reason. In other words, whatever your worldview is and whatever your issue is, God wants you to know today he doesn't make mistakes. You and I make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. He created you. You're living, you're drawing breath right now. And God says, please listen. I've designed you with a plan and a purpose because of a specific design. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, and I like this, the verse. I like verses that just make me sit down and kind of zip my mouth. Overwhelming verses. God says in Isaiah 55, 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Don't you like when God talks like that? Nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's how awesome your God is, the God of the Bible. Do you know him like this? Do you know him like this? Where he says, come on, let's do this. And you say, well, tell me. And he goes, are you kidding? If I were to tell you, it'd fry your brain. You couldn't handle what I want to do with you. Just come on. Isn't it great? Jesus shows up and says to Matthew as he's collecting taxes for Rome. Jesus walks up and says to Matthew, come and follow me. Isn't that great? What was it that moment? Wouldn't you love to have been there? Jesus is just walking by and everybody is having to pay taxes to walk through this gate. Jesus just walks right by. He probably walked through the gate. He just probably walked by. Excuse me. Yep. Okay. Excuse me. Thank you. And Matthew, hey, what's up? Jesus just turns and says, come and follow me. I bet you could see Matthew, because the Bible says he left everything in the instant and got up and he took off. Oh, I would love to have seen that. Purpose. Matthew discerned that whoever that guy was, something's up. And Jesus said, come and follow me. What an awesome declaration. God's ways are beyond our ways, and he has a design.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called, Who Told You That God Has a Plan? Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you are experiencing life to the fullest. It happens when you put your trust in God. Who Told You That God Has a Plan? Is part of Pastor Jack's series called, Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's goodness, and his plan for our lives. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here's a great idea. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. It's a great way for you to be encouraged and take advantage of the tools and resources that are available as you grow in your relationship with God with the Real Life app. The Bible is right there available for you on the app, mobile friendly. You can read, you can listen, and the one-year Bible plan is right there too. So get involved with the Real Life app. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called Politics According to the Bible, written by Dr. Wayne Grudem. Now, this book was a major inspiration for Pastor Jack's Worldview series. Join the many Real Radio listeners who read the book of the month every month by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click the Home tab. That's Pastor Jack's book of the month. And that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Check it out right away. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.